All right, so we'll say good morning. Rob is aware that as soon as we get home, we're back on duty, so please take your time. I'm in a very learned mood today. Somehow.
All right, thank you. All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf chof aleph. We're going to start on daf chof aleph. Four lines down from the top, the two dots. Boy mine Rav Avya Saba me Rav Huna. So we'll say, Rav Avya Saba asked the following question of Rav Huna. Behema, if you have an animal, chetz yeshana chayiv chetz shal Yisrael. So let's say you have an animal, a jointly owned animal. 50% of the animal is owned by the Jew, 50% is then owned by the non-Jew. The truth is, the percentages themselves actually make very little difference in this discussion. But the point is, it's jointly owned by Jew and non-Jew. And what happens? Can you shecht it on yomtiv? Because also the question the Gemara is obviously asking is that lemaisa. I know that I'm permitted to go ahead and shecht behemas yisrael. I could shecht my own animal, but I'm not allowed to shecht for a non-Jew, as we'll see later on. So the shaila is, what happens if the animal is jointly owned? So amalei. Remember, this Rav Avya Saba asking a Rav Huna. Rav Huna responds mutter. So Rav Huna says it's mutter. Amrlei, so Rav Avya says, V'chi ma bein zelen darmun nedavas. So Rav Avya said, "Aye, but what's the difference between this and nedarim and nedavos?" And again, remember, nedarim and nedavos are vow offerings, nedavos are gift offerings. What's the difference? Look at Rashi. Ma bein zelen nedarim nedavos shechatzion lo v'chatzin lagava va'asel l'shoftan mitnei chelik lagava. So also, here's what's interesting: is Rav Avya says that why should this case of behema, that's half of a Jew, half of a non-Jew, be any different than neder and nedava? You can't shecht an animal that's a neder and nedava. Why? Because again, we'll call it half of it belongs to Gavoa, half of it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the dispensation for melacha on Yom Tov is limited to Ochel Nefesh, that which one does for one's self. So the same way that I can't go ahead and shecht a neder and nedava, I shouldn't be allowed to shecht the behema. That's Chetz Yoshal Yisrael, Chetz Yoshal Akum. So Amarlei, so Rav Huna responds, Orva Parach, look at that, there's a raven flying by. Now, Rose says Rashi, now what does that mean? Orva Parach, Rashi says, Orif HaParach Lamala, Hisilo Davaracher. Rav Huna purposely changed the topic. Okay, what a nice bird. Kinafak, so Rav Avya doesn't quite know what to do about this. You know, when Rav Huna changes the subject, that pretty much means the subject is changed. So Rav Avya walks out. So Rav Huna is walking out of the shul, out of the base medrash. Amarle Rabba Bray. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, said to his father, Lav hainu Rav Avya Saba de mishtabich leimar begave de gava Rabbu. So Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, turns to his father, Rav Huna, and says, Father, what's going on over here? Is Rav Avya Saba not a man that you normally compliment, that you normally praise as being a great person? Meaning, obviously, Rav Huna did not want to have the discussion anymore. So he changes the topic. When do you change the topic? When you feel, again, the discussion is not worthy, or the person with whom you are engaged in discussion is not worthy. So Rabba, Rav Huna's son, was surprised. You normally say Rav Avya is such a great man. So why are you changing the topic? Why not finish the conversation? We'll say, so profound. Hu amarlei. The Gav Rabu Amrlei, Rav Huna responds to his son Rabba. Both say, listen to this. Uma'a avidle. What should I do? What should I do? Hayom samchuni ba'ashishus, rifaduni bitapuchim. So both say, quotes the pasuk from Shira Shirim. So amazing how these things work out. So samchuni ba'ashishus literally means support me with cakes. And rifaduni bitapuchim, spread out apples all around me. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. She says, Ani hayom samchuni ba'ashishus, yom tovu. Rav Huna said, listen, it's yom tov. Vidarashti l'rabim. And the truth is, I gave my drasha in the morning. Vichalisi mitorach hadrasha. Giving a drasha is a lot of work. It takes a lot out of you. He says, Vikori ani alai, samchuni ba'ashishus, hevi'ali suda ve'esod. Before you start talking me a China with all of these shilas, let me go and make a little bit of I'm not venting or anything. Right? Before you go ahead and start with everything, Let me go home, make a little bit of kiddush, eat a little bit of something. It's a lot. This is amazing. So Rav Huna is saying to his son, Rav Avia is a great guy, and I'd love to have this conversation with him. But the truth is, I was giving the drasha this morning. It's already a little bit later in the day. I just want to go home and have a little bit of kiddush, eat a little bit of something, and then I'll go ahead and be happy to have this discussion with him afterwards. And Rav Avia is saying good. But his discussion is a little bit more involved. Most of the by time, I mean, it's something that requires my concentration. And so ultimately, again, I need to eat something before I can sit down and have an in-depth conversation. This Gemara says, the time of my behema chesia shal nachri, the chesia shal yisomot. So now the Gemara kind of goes back, and the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this discussion. Because Rav Avia asked of Rav Huna, what about the jointly owned animal? And Rav Huna paskin that you could go ahead and shecht it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, well, why does Rav Huna actually hold that way? So the Gemara says, chesia shal yisomot, mutar l'shecht b'yom tov, d'i efshar l'kizayis basar b'lo shechita. Rav Huna says, here's Rav Huna's logic. Because literally, you cannot have one piece, a kizayis of meat without shechita. And I will say, what does that mean? That the act of shechita, the act, whether you want to eat a little bit of meat or a lot of meat, the act that allows for the consumption of that meat is the same. It's shechita. So what Rav Huna's logic was, is it really makes no difference if the animal is fully owned by a Jew or jointly owned by a Jew and a non-Jew. Because at the end of the day, in order for the Jew to get his part of the meat, you need the same Maisa Shechita. And that Maisa Shechita is the same whether the Jew owns 100% of the animal or a Jew only owns 50% of the animal. Because the act itself does not vary based on the percentage of ownership, therefore it's permitted to shech the animal for the Jew to access his part of the animal. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Avan l'darmun davos asa l'shechtam yamtov, but Rav Avi's comparison is flawed. That you can't check the Dharma Davas and Yom Tov. Why? To Kohanim, bless you, ki kazochu, mishulchan gavoa kazochu. Both sides are very interesting. The way it works with Karbonos is the following. You see, when I have an animal that's jointly owned, so I own it with Nachri, so I and Nachri own the animal together, so I'm at 50%. The only way for me to access my 50% is to shech the animal. And that Maisa Shechita is the same, independent. There's no additional Tircha or less Tircha. Maisa Shechita is a Maisa Shechita, therefore I'm permitted to do it. When it comes to Karbonos in general, when you have a Karbon from which, let's say, the Kohanim get their portion, the owners get their portions, how does that work? The Karbon is the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Mishulchan Gavoh. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what happens? Once it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys portions to everyone else. Therefore, Lemaisa, you can't go ahead and shech Nadam and Nadavas on Yom Tov. Why? Because that act of Shechita is an act of Shechita for who? For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for God. And the dispensation for Ochel Nefesh is only what? For an act of Shechita for me. Of course, remember, this is leaving aside Karbanos that I have to bring. For Yom Tov. So either Kabbalahs that are obligatory daily offerings, or for that matter, Kabbalahs themselves that have a chelek on Yom Tov itself. But other Kabbalahs, like the Dharma Nadavas, which are not related to Yom Tov, that Maisa Shechita is not for me at all. That Maisa Shechita is for HaKadosh Baruch. And that's what he says. The Kohanim, ki kazoch, when the Kohanim, he's using Kohanim as an example, but it means Kohanim as well as Bailim, as well as owners who would get their portion as well. Where do they get their portion from? Ki kazoch mishulchan gavoa kazoch. Where do they get their portion from? They get their portion literally from the table on high, i.e. from HaKadosh Baruch. Look at Rashi. Kohanim mishulchan gavoa kazoch, bechazei v'shok. Remember again, the Kohanim get the chest as well as the thigh, vo'adin labaylim, and the owners also get certain sacrificial parts, b'shara basar, ke'eved hanotel pras mibeis rabo. It is like a servant who gets a portion from his master, therefore nimtzeis kol hashechita l'shein gavar. This is so interesting. Therefore, when it comes to nedarim and nedavos, the act of the shechita itself is considered to be an act of Shechita for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is so, it does not fall under the license of Ochel Nefesh, and therefore it's going to be Aser. As opposed to a behema that is half owned by a Jew, half owned by a Nachri, where the Maisa Shechita is one Maisa Shechita, and it's the only way for me to access my portion of the meat, therefore it's permitted on Yom Tov. And I both say, that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins halacha l'maisa, that if you have a behema, if you have an animal that is jointly owned by a Jew and non-Jew, one is permitted to go ahead and shech that animal on Shabbos. That is in Simin, Yom Tov, excuse me, thank you. That is... Yeah, now all that here you can see it over here. That's Arachim Tov Tzadik Ches Sif Yud Aleph. Okay, Omer Rav Chista. If you have an animal that is jointly owned, half of it is owned by a non-Jew, half of it is owned by a Jew, the Gemara is just supporting the story that we just said before. You can shecht it on Yom Tov. Why? Because you are unable to access your Jewish portion of that animal without proper shechita. Therefore, once the Maisa Shechita becomes permitted, and once the Maisa Shechita does not vary, depending on the percentages of ownership, therefore it's permitted even on Yom Tov. However, Isa, if you have a doe, so we'll say, let's say a Jew and a non-Jew have a joint ownership interest in a doe. So what's the halacha? Asr le'efos sabi Yom Tov. You can't bake that entire doe on Yom Tov. Why? Da'ha'ev sharlei lemiflaga belisha. Because Rabbi said, what can you do? You can separate your portion from the non-Jew's portion. So remember again, Rabbi said, the Gemara is operating under the basic premise that the dispensation, or not dispensation, the license for Ochal Nefesh, the license to engage in Malacha for the sake of food preparation activities, is limited to Jews. Therefore, by definition, again, if I can't split off my interest from the non-Jew's interest, okay, I can shech the animal, but where I can split off my interest, like in a case of a doe, then lemaisa, again, I have to separate my doe from the non-Jew's doe. I can bake my part, I can't bake his part. Massive Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. So Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi raises an interesting question. So Bosa, again, this is Rav Chista's statement. So Rav Chista is the one who's being mechalik. He's making a distinction between jointly owned animal, jointly owned doe. Jointly owned animal can be shechted, even though, again, I'm in essence also shechting, so to speak, the non-Jew's part. Because again, since there's no other way to separate out that act, therefore it's permitted. Versus jointly owned dough, where I'm not permitted to bake off the non-Jew's part. So asks Rav Chana Bar Chanila Yakasha, Isas Kalavim, Rabbi say, if you have literally dog bread. So what's, or bread of a dog, or I should say dog dough. Dog. All right.
Probably shouldn't say that.
That doesn't sound right. What? Did I miss something? Dog do.
Dog do is. Dog do is what we refer to as inappropriate.
Dog excrement. Understood. Thank you. I'm happy I came this morning. All right, good. Thank you. It's Rasha.
I'm Martin De Rashi.
Thank you. Okay, good. All right, we're going to try to bring this up from first grade level, and we're going to have this over here.
I'm
going to
specialize in urban legends.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good. Should have brought my kids today. It's going to be the Cholamayin activity. All right, so it says, so listen, so now I have what they call a dough for, okay, maybe he's Zaru Bilshonim, right? So a dough that was made for dogs. Now both say, now what does it mean, a dough that was made for dogs? So understand the following, that it would be made from inferior chaff and bran and all this kind of stuff that you would not normally use when you were making a dough for people. But interestingly enough, so look what he says over here. Isas Klavim. It's interesting. So there were different, I guess, different levels, different gradations of this dough for a dog. There would be sometimes where it'd be so inferior that people, the shepherds, wouldn't eat it. But there'd be other times where the shepherds would eat it. So the Gemara says like this: if you're talking about a dough for the dog, that the roan would eat it. Roan ochlem imeno chayeves bechala. Suppose I listen to this. So if it's edible enough that the shepherd would eat from it, then it's chayiv and chala. You have to be mafresh chala. Uma arbinba. And I've also said you could use it for eruv chatzeros. Umishtatvinba. You could use it for shtufei muvaos. Umivarchinale. And you make a hamotzi on it. Umizamnale. You could form a mezumin if you have three shepherds eating from it. Vene'efes biyomtov. And it could be baked on yomtov. Va'adam yotzei dechalasu bepesach. And I've also listened to this. Obviously, this is assuming that you made it in the right way, you know, under 18 minutes. But you could take this mixture and you could make it into matzah as well. So I will say, we don't really care about any of that information except for one detail over here, which is that you could bake it off on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Va'amai, why can you bake it off on Yom Tov? Va'ef sherle lemiflaga belisha. But why is that? So because I will say, interestingly enough, when you bake that off for Yom Tov, so what dough is being baked off? You're baking off for the dogs. And for me, now the assumption is, what is Ochal Nefesh? What is dispensation for Ochal Nefesh? Human consumption. It doesn't cover animal consumption. Therefore, what should I have to do? I should have to separate out my part. Let's say I'm assuming I'm the shepherd. Separate out my part that I'm going to eat. I could bake that part off, but I may not go ahead and bake off the part for the dog. So the Gemara says, no. Shiny isas klavim hoil ve'ev shalafaisen b'nevela. So to which the Gemara answers, the truth is, we actually look at this dough as much as it's really, we call it the dough for the dog, but lemaisa, the dog will eat other stuff. What is the dog going to eat? The dog is going to eat some nevela. He's going to eat some carcass that we'll find somewhere. In essence, what the Gemara is saying is, the bread is really for who? The bread is really for me, for the shepherd. So the Gemara says, umi isli the Rav Chista hoil. But does Rav Chista hold of this idea of holding a bosai? Hoil means that you're permitted to go ahead and do something on Yom Tov since something may occur. So what we're suggesting over here now is, I could bake off this dough on Yom Tov. Why could I? Now, again, remember, the problem with baking off this dough on Yom Tov is, I can't do malacha for a dog. I could do malacha for myself. But what is the Gemara saying? Since the dog could be satisfied with a nevela, therefore what? The dough will really be for me. And therefore, when I bake it off on Yom Tov, I'm doing something for me. The Gemara says, 1 second. Does Rav Chista hold of the principle of hoil? The Rabbos say, this is a very important idea the Gemara is about to discuss. We learned, if one cooks from Yom Tov to Chol, so imagine this idea. So now again, it's when is the start tonight? So it's Tuesday afternoon. And what happens? And I want to cook. And it's clear that I'm cooking from Yom Tov till next day, till Matzah Yom Tov. So what's the halacha? Rav Chista Marloke. Rav Chista says, you get Malkus. Why do you get Malkus, Rav Osai? Because Rav Chista holds it's an Isra Doraisa to go ahead and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So from Yom Tov to Chol. Look at Rashi. Now Rashi defines this case. Mi Yom Tov l'chol. He says, la'acher she'sa'ad afa davada l'chol. Rav Osai, the case is very specific. After my meal. If I cook before my meal, so then again, that's not called cooking from Yom Tov to Chol. Why? Because my side, I'm going to eat it. But this is the case of, I've already eaten. I must say, right? It's Acharon Shal Pesach. I've been eating for 8 days, right? Mamish. It's, you know, that's a greater miracle than Kriyas Yamsuf, right? One person could eat so much for a total of 8 days. So what happens? So it's clear, it's after the meal. And therefore, the Maisa, it's clear that, again, this is being done for Chol. So Rav Chista said, if you do that, you're loke. You get Malkus. Rabba says, ain't no loke. Rabba says, you don't get Malkus. Why? So Rav Chista amar loke. Rav Chista says, you get Malkus. Why? Lo arminan hoil umiklai le'archim chazile hashta. Chazile. Hashta nami chazile. Rabba amar, ain't no loke. Arminan hoil. So we'll say, listen to this. That fundamental machlokes. I'm going to go backwards. Rabba says, you don't get Malkus. No, you don't get Malkus. Because there's always a possibility that what? Some guests are going to show up. Somebody's going to show up. And the truth is, when guests show up, there's one thing you know for sure, which is they want to eat. So what happens? So therefore, Rabbi says, because there's a possibility that guests may show up, therefore, Lemaisa, I am permit. If I cook, again, Rabbi's not encouraging this, but Lemaisa, if I cooked, I'm not in violation of Yom Tov, because at the end of the day, guests may show up. That's Rabbi's position. Rav Chista says, we do not hold hoil. We do not say that since guests can't show up, therefore this act is not an act of malacha violation of Yom Tov, but it may be used for Yom Tov operation. So you see from your water bosai that Rav Chista does not hold of the concept of hoil, does not hold of the concept of we call it since. Rav bosai, if Rav Chista doesn't hold of hoil over here, then what? Then Rav Chista shouldn't say hoil by the case of the dog either. Remember, Rav Chista said, you could bake off the entire dough, even though what? The dog is going to eat some part of it. Why? Because hoil, the dog, you may find an avail. You'll find the carcass of the animal. But Rav Chista doesn't hold up hoil. So why does he say hoil? Why does he allow the license of hoil? Let me say it differently. Why does he use hoil to allow you to bake off the entire dough? Ela kigon di isle nevela. Devadai efshar lafaisa menevela. To which the Gemara says, no. The case of Rav Chista is not, maybe you'll find an avail. The case of Rav Chista is what Rabbi say. You have an avela. So in that case where you have an avela handy already, you know that the dog is going to eat. Therefore, even though this is a dough for the dogs, Lamaik says, as long as it's edible for the shepherd, you can bake off the dough in its entirety, because the assumption is the shepherd's going to eat it, and the dog will eat his avela. And I will say again, but even in that case, if the dog wants to eat from the dough, the dog certainly can do so. The idea just is that in order to allow for the baking off of the dough, it has to be a dough that is fully usable by the shepherd. Says the Gemara. Ba'im neimei Rav Huna. They asked from Rav Huna the following kasha. Hani bei bago, deramu alaya kimcha de bnei chela. He will say, bnei bago means people who live in a village. And what happens? So Rabbi said, often it happened that there were soldiers, non-Jewish soldiers, who were stationed in the villages, and the decree of the king was that the villagers had to provide them with food, with quarter, right? We had to provide them with food. So what happened? Here was the following Shiloh. So it was, now interestingly enough, in this case, he says, so the kasha was like this. The king stations the soldiers in the Jewish town for Yom Tov. So now it's the obligation of the residents to cook for the soldiers. Are the residents permitted to go ahead and cook for the soldiers on Yom Tov? So now again, remember, these are non-Jewish soldiers. Lemais, I'm not cooking it for myself. I'm cooking it for the Gentile. Can I do that? Then I'll say, obviously, the question presupposes that it's not a situation of sakanas nefashos. Because if it was sakanas nefashos, then, you know, imam al daber. We don't have to have this discussion. You can do whatever you need to do. So for whatever the circumstances, they must have felt that it wasn't sakanas nefashos. So they were asking, are they permitted to do this? Amarle, so Rav Huna responds, chazina, we have to examine the following situation. So also listen to this answer. Chista says like this. It depends. When you cook the food for the soldiers, so do the soldiers mind if you share some of that food with your kids? Right? Liyanuka meaning, so when you remember, I'm cooking this in my kitchen for the soldiers. So do the soldiers have a hakpada that every single morsel of food must be for them? Or are they okay with the fact that what? Then I'll bake it, but I'll share a little bit with my family. If they're okay with the fact that you share it with your family, then what? Then you could bake it on Yom Tov. You could cook on Yom Tov for them. Why? Because you could say that everything you cook technically is usable for the own members of your family. V'ilo, v'ilav, but again, if when you cook it, again, they are makbid, that it only be used for the soldiers themselves, but not for the families, then Rav Huna says you should not cook for them on Yom Tov. V'ilav, osir. Aye, but we learned, v'hatanyo, maisa b'shimen hatimoni. I but we learned the episode with Shimon HaTimoni. Shaloba emesh labeis hamedrash b'shachar. So let's listen to this. It happened that the previous night, Shimon HaTimoni did not show up in shul. So what happened? Matzu Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava found him the next day and said to him, Amar lo, mipnei ma lo basa emesh labeis hamedrash. So we'll say, right? That's a friend, right? That's a chaver, right? Where were you? Where were you? I didn't see you yesterday. Amarlo, so Yehuda Teimani actually wrote, so this is actually a very good excuse. Amarlo, Baleshes Ba'al Irenu. There was a troop of soldiers that came to our city. Ubikshu Lachtofes Kol Ha'ir. And they wanted to take over the city. And I will say, what it means over here, look at Rashi, Baleshes, Chel Godol Shal Gidude Nachrim, Shemechapsin Uboshin Lishlo Shalol. Now, there's only this type of troop of marauding soldiers getting Baleshes means literally to despoil, to take everything. So they came to the town and they were ready to totally take all of our wealth. What did we do? Vishachatnu Lahem Egel. So what did we do? We prepared for them a nice meal. And we fed them. Upatranum l'shalom. And we sent them on their way in shalom. Or in other words, we bribed them. We gave them a very nice meal. We gave them flesh. We shechted for them. We gave them a nice meal. And we were able to send them on their way. So essentially, Shimon HaTimani says, listen, I know I couldn't make it to shul. I was saving the city. Like I said, that works. That works. No, if you save the city, I will accept that. Absolutely. So again, listen to this. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, Amar lo, tama ani, I wondered to myself, im lo yotza schachem befseitchem, if in reality your schar, whatever you earned, actually was outweighed by your loss. What does that mean? Shari Amra Torah, because the Torah said, lochem, v'lo lo ovdei kochavim. Because Rabbi said, remember, Shimon HaTimani did a ma'isa shechita for a nachri, for a non-Jew. So Rabbi ben Bava says, it's very nice you saved your city, but I wondered to myself, at what expense? Because the Torah says, lochem, that you may only go ahead and shecht lochem for yourselves. You may only do malacha for yourselves. And again, we learn from the lochem v'lo lo ovdei kochavim. You're not permitted to do malacha for non-Jews on Yom Tov. V'amai. So again, Rabbi said, that's what Yehuda ben Bava says to Shimon HaTimoni. The Gemara asks, v'amai, but why? Meaning, even if they shechted for the non-Jews, there's still a reason why it should have been permitted. Ha'chazi l'mecha minei. Because Rabbi said, technically speaking, the Jews of the city could have also what? Could have also eaten from that shechita. You know, the fact that they did or did not eat from it is to a certain degree is irrelevant. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that malacha should technically be permitted if what? As long as a Jew could technically benefit from the malacha. So since a Jew could have technically benefited from the maisa shechita, that should have fallen under the umbrella of lachem as well, to which the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Yosef, egel treifa havi. No, it wasn't a kosher animal. It was a treifa animal. Aye, but v'ha chazi leklavim. Okay, even if a Jew could not have eaten it, I still could have what? I still could have fed it to my dogs. Oh, to which the Gemara says, tenoyim. This in reality is machlokes tenoyim. What's the machlokes? Tisanya. Ach, asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaselach and bless you. The Torah says, only that which shall be eaten for every soul, l'chol nefesh, hu levado, that by itself ye'aselach and shall be done for you. So the Gemara says, mimash moshene'emar l'chol nefesh, the fact that the Torah tells me that the dispensation for food preparation activities on Yom Tov is l'chol nefesh, shomea ani, afil nefesh behema b'mashma. I would understand that nefesh includes what Rabbi said, animals. After all, again, the Torah says, ke'inyan shene'emar, umaket nefesh behema yishalmena. Rabbi said, the Torah refers to an animal as a nefesh as well. So I might have thought that the dispensation of ochel nefesh, ach asher yachel ochel nefesh, teaches me what? That I can even do malacha for animals to feed them on Yom Tov. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Lochem, v'lo l'klavim d'Rabbi Yosef Levi. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, the Pasuk says, Lochem, for you and not for your animals. These are the words of Rabbi Yosef Levi. So Rabbi Yosef Levi paskins, that halacha l'maisa, you may do malacha for yourself on Yom Tov, but you may not do malacha for the benefit of your animals. However, Rabbi Akiva says, afilu nefesh meima b'mashma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the truth is nefesh comes to even include animals. Imkein ma talmud lomar lachem. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabosai, according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, why does the pasuk, what does lachem come to limit you? Lachem v'lo lo'ovde kochavim. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabosai, nefesh comes to include the fact that you could do malacha for an animal, for your animal on Yom Tov. And nefesh, and lachem comes to say you could do it for you, but you may not do it for a Gentile. So the Gemara says, one second. Umaro isal rabos esaklovim ulahoti esa obde kochavim. Boss, and this is strange. What you're not telling me is in Rabbi Akiva's view, I can what? I can do malacha for the sake of my animal, but not for a Gentile. Why would you assume that malacha is permitted for an animal, not for a Gentile? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Mar ba'ani esaklovim shemizonoson alecha umotzi ani esa obde kochavim shein mizonoson alecha. I'll tell you why. I include an animal. Why? Because also, what kind of animal are we referring to over here? Yeah. Your animal. Domestic animal. Your animal. You have an obligation to feed your animal. And therefore, again, yes, intuitively, it makes more sense that the Torah gives you a dispensation to do malacha for the feeding of your animal versus for a Gentile for who what? You don't have an obligation to sustain them. So I'll say, this is the fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef Levi says that lochem dafka teaches only for a Jew and not for animals. Rabbi Akiva says, no, nefesh comes to include animals, and lochem ultimately comes to exclude a non-Jew. Amar le Abai le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef Galili. Excuse me, Amar Abai le Rav Yosef. So Abai says Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef Galili, do Amar lochem v'lo le klavim. According to Rav Yosef Galili, who said lochem means you and not for dogs, mean not for animals, then hani sufli lichiyusa, heichi shadina lohu b'yom tov. So he asked a very interesting question. How can you throw sufli means, if you look at Rashi, garine tamarin, date pits. So date pits. So apparently date pits are not fit for human consumption, but animals could eat them.
Is this in Luke's again? In other words, is that, I have two dots here. Is that the end of that?
No, it's continuing. It's continuing on the discussion about animals.
Do you have two dots there?
Yeah, but it's still continuing on the discussion with animals.
I'm saying, but is that the end of the discussion? In other words, he said, I'm tama whether or not you were Yotz Yisrael or Bev Seda.
So what the Gemara is saying over here is, the reason I'm not sure if it's Yotz is because of this machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Akiva. Because essentially, Rabbi Shimon HaTeimani shechs the animal because, even though it's a treifa, because he assumes that it's good for klavim. He assumes it's good for dogs. So that works fine according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who holds that you could do a maisa malacha for your dogs. But according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that you can't do a maisa malacha for your dogs, Shimon HaTeimani did a malacha on Yom Tov. Did I say it the reverse? Yeah. Rabbi Akiva holds that you cannot Rabbi Akiva, excuse me, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Thank you. Let me say it differently. What Rabbi Shimon HaTemani did works well according to Rabbi Akiva, but would not work well according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. That's Rabbi Shimon HaTemani is Mesopak.
Is this Gemara ever used to extrapolate whether or not certain things should be done in the event of certain...
Yeah, can you cook for your dog?
No. I'm saying with other things like this. In other words, this is very strange to me that the Baleshas are coming. They're going to pillage the whole city. And we have a Shaila, should I shecht? They're going to rape. They're going to kill.
Again, clearly I'd say from the case, it's clear they're just coming for money. They're coming for money. When you're coming for money, so the truth is there's no heter to violate Malacha for the sake of money. If there's a pikuach nefesh, a safek gosh, me again, backing into this, the fact that this conversation is taking place indicates that they realize they're only here for money. Clearly, they assess the situation. If there was a shayla of anything else, then of course you could do whatever you want. The fact that, again, Shimon HaTemani is saying all we needed to do was shecht the animal. The fact that they were satisfied with just a nice piece of steak indicates that they were only coming for the money.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to buy the Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, Lili, do Amar Lachem lo the Klavim, Hani Suf Lili Chiyuse Hechi Shadina Lubi Yom Tov. So I was according to Rabbi Yosef, Lili, who holds that Lamai say you may not do Malacha for the sake of your animals on Yom Tov. And how can you throw the date pits to the dogs on Yom Tov? Because Rabbi Yosef, again, at the end of the day, if, again, the date pits are Muktza, because according to Rabbi Yosef, Lili, again, you can't do any kind of Malacha for your dog. If that's the case, how do we even throw the date pits to the animals on Yom Tov when the date pits themselves are muktzah? To which the Gemara says, Amar Leih, he said to him, Hoil v'chazu lehasaka. No, the date pits are not muktzah. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because date pits can also be used as fuel for a fire. So because they can be used for fuel, therefore halacha lemaisa, they're not muktzah. And therefore, once they're not muktzah to be used for a fuel, you can also throw it to your animals. Tenech b'yaveshta. That's fine with dried out date pits. Apparently, those could be used for fuel. But what about moist date pits? Those cannot be used for fuel. No, even moist date pits cannot be used to fuel a small fire, but they can be used to fuel a larger fire. So the Gemara says, that makes sense on Yom Tov. Because again, on both sides, the fact that the date pit is usable for a fire, I could use a fire on Yom Tov. But how can you go ahead and throw the date pits to your dog, or to your animal on Yom Tov? Why isn't the date pit mokta? To which the Gemara says, "Metaltalin luhu agav rifta." Oh, you know what we do? We transport the date pit on top of a piece of bread. Rabbi Yosef, going back to our Shabbos days, if you remember, when you had certain situations where something perhaps was muktzah, you were able to move it by dint of something else, through something else. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even if you hold it, the date pits are muktzah, put it on a piece of bread, the piece of bread itself is not muktzah, and therefore the ma'aseh, again, you can move the date pit like that. Kiddush Shmuel, Da'amar Shmuel, Osa Adam Kol Tzarcho Bepas. Because Shmuel Paskin's Rabbi said that a person could do all of his needs with bread. Rabbi said this goes back to Gemara Maseches Brachos, where we had a fundamental machlokus as to what you could use bread for. So one man, the Amr, said, you can't use bread for any other use other than eating, because anything else is a disparaging use of bread. Shmuel's of the opinion that you could use bread for any constructive purpose. Even what? Even going in and transporting date pits. Upligid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and this argues in Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So says the Gemara, look at Rashi on both sides. Upligid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Hadra Funa de la El, de Amar Ikiya Vinan Rifta Liyanuka. So both sides, remember, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is arguing on, so what's the place? I'm sorry. Upligid Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and that which Rav Huna said before argues on Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Why? Because Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mizamnin es hanochri b'shabbos. You can invite a Gentile over to your home. Now, also remember, what did Rav Huna say earlier? Rav Huna said earlier before that lemaisa, you can go ahead and shech the animal for the non-Jews. You can prepare the food for the non-Jews as long as what? As long as they would not be makbid on you sharing it with the members of your household. Therefore, again, every act of malacha that I'd be doing for a non-Jew would, in essence, be under the umbrella of doing it for a Jew, since a Jew could technically partake of it. The Gemara suggests that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi and Rav Huna disagree, because what did Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say? Mezamnin es hanochri b'Shabbos. You may invite a non-Jew to join you for your meals on Shabbos. However, again, ve'ein mezamnin es hanochri b'yomtiv. But you may not invite a non-Jew to join you on Yom Tov. Then I will say, why can't you invite a non-Jew to join you on Yom Tov? Gezerah Shema Yarbe Bishvila. And this is Halacha L'maisa. That again, there are dispensations for this, but in general, we're careful with inviting non-Jewish company on Yom Tov out of a concern that you may go ahead and end up what? Cooking more for that non-Jew. And Abbasai, remember, again, cooking for a non-Jew on Yom Tov would be a violation of a Malacha D'Oraisa. You're only permitted to go and cook for a Jew. And that's the lachem, correct. I mean, we'll see this later on. We actually accept a hybrid model of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva Lachem when we finish this. But Lemais, again, what the Gemara is clearly saying is that lachem only means Jews. And therefore, again, don't invite non-Jewish company over Yom Tov out of a concern that you may come to add in additional food for the Nachri.
It doesn't apply on Shabbos because we can't prepare food.
Exactly. Since there is no cooking happening on Shabbos, there is no concern that one may do malacha. Again, we're not concerned about saying that person is going to do malacha. I'm not concerned that if I invite some non-Jew over on Shabbos, I'm going to do malacha for them. I'm not going to do any malacha. So therefore, again, what I have is what I have. I want to share it with the non-Jew. That's my prerogative. On Yom Tov, where there's a license to cook, the concern ultimately is I'll end up cooking more for the non-Jew. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said you can't even invite them over on Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara says, afilu b'Shabbos nami lo, mishum shiuri kosos, because of the leftovers in their cups of wine. What's the issue? Look at Rashi. Shal yayin shal shara bahen pito, umatat lan hasham shlatz nihakos. We'll see, here's the interesting thing. Is apparently what the Talmudic custom was, that they wouldn't only drink their wine, they would also dip their bread in their wine over the course of the meal. So what's the issue? The issue is that people wouldn't really drink that last little bit of the wine in their cup. Why not? Because you had like crumbs, you had bread sediment in there. So the Gemara Sinai Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, you can't even invite a non-Jew to join you on Shabbos. Why? Because there's an issue with the leftovers in his cups. So I'll say, what's the issue with the leftover in the cups? The assumption is that lemaisa, it's going to go ahead and be problematic. Why the Gemara? So again, Rabbi said the assumption is that it's going to be mukta. So the Gemara says ihaki didan nami. So if that's the case, again, that there's an issue that leftover stuff at the bottom of the cup is not usable, should be a problem with the leftovers of our cups as well. No. Here's the difference. Didan chazu letarnegolin. No, I'll tell you what I will say. See, our cups are okay. The leftover in our cups, why? Because what do you do with your leftover wine sediment in the bottom? You give it to your chickens. Some happy chickens. Right? So you give it to your chickens. Think about this 1 second. Dido nami chazla tarnagolin. Why can't you give the leftover of the Gentiles' cups to the chickens as well? Oh, didohu asure hanu. Because I will say, here's the issue. The Gemara suggests that lemaisa, you can't go ahead and use the leftover of the cup of the non-Jew, Yerbosai, because that is wine that was drunk by a non-Jew that has the status of stam yeino. Best case scenario, worst case scenario, yayin nesach. And lemaisa again, it's aser ba'ano. You can't get any benefit from it. So the Gemara says 1 second. So therefore, again, we understand the train of thought over here. This is now Rav Acha bar Yaakov saying you can't even invite over non-Jewish company on Shabbos. Because the problem is going to be is you're going to give them wine. Okay, I'm not going to drink the wine. They're going to drink whatever wine they're going to have. But what's going to happen? I'm not going to be able to clear the table from their cups. Because again, the leftover wine that's there is muktzah, and therefore makes it immovable. So the Gemara says, Ulital Tlinhu Agav Kasa. Okay, even if they can't move the wine, I should be permitted to what? This sounds strange. I should be permitted to what? Move the cup, right? Meaning the cup is mutter. The wine is, I can't get any benefit from the wine, but ultimately the cup itself is mutter. Why can't I move the cup, so to speak? Mi lo amar Rava. Did Rava not say, mitaltalin kununa agav kamte, katme, af agav diika ale shiver eitzen. I will say, a kinuna is like I don't know what the right English word for it is, but it's like a fire pan. It's like a shovel. It's a shovel, like a small shovel in which you put ash. So the ideas are both saying, here's what's very interesting. So in Talmudic times, probably even past Talmudic times, so people would prepare ash on Erev Yom Tov. What's the do they have a name for it?
Brazier.
A brazier?
Yeah.
B-R-A-Z-I-E-R.
Okay, good. A brazier. Good. A brazier or a brazier?
Brazier.
Okay, good. So a brazier. So what happened? People would prepare ash on Erev Yom Tov, why would they prepare ash? It's very interesting because, again, you used ash for a variety of different things. First off, you were going to shecht. You could use it for kisei adayim, for covering the blood. Also, if a person had to relieve themselves, so they would use ash to cover over human waste as well. So, Bosa, you can go ahead and carry. I'm going to use my shovel. It sounds more natural. Brazier just doesn't. Right, so you could carry that shovel on Yom Tov, even though what? There are little pieces of wood. Now, Bosa, those pieces of wood are useless. They're muktzah on Yom Tov. But yet what? I could still carry the shovel because again, the ash is there. So the Gemara says, why don't you say the same thing over here? Why don't you say the same thing over here? The cup itself is not muktzah. The cup itself is permitted. So let me transport the cup. I understand that the leftover of the Gentiles' wine is not fit for any kind of use, even to give to my chicken, but I should still be able to move the cup. To which the Gemara says, no, here's the difference. Hasam lav isura hanu'aninhu. Here's the fundamental difference on both sides. You see, apparently, again, in the case of the wood chips are muktzah, but they're not asr ba'na. The leftover wine of the nachri is asr ba'na. Because of that, lemaisa, because of that, you can't move the cup. The Rabbi say, you should just know. Well, let's finish this. Amarle Rav Acha midifti the Ravina. Rav Acha midifti said to Ravina. Vele havike graf shel rei. Rabbi say, why don't you say that the leftover of the cups of a Jew? So here's where we're at right now. We have on one hand Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi telling us that you can't invite a non-Jew over for Yom Tov. Why? Because there's a concern that if I have Gentile company for Yom Tov, I may come to cook more on Yom Tov. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says you can't even have Gentile company on Shabbos. Not because there's an issue of malacha, but there's an issue of what? You're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck with the stuff on your table because you can't empty out the Gentiles' cups. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, his leftover wine is not fit for consumption, not fit for anon, therefore muksa, and if you're going to be stuck. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amarle Rav Acha midifti Ravina, Rav Acha midifti Ravina, but 1 second. Vele havike graf shalrei. Rav Acha, graf shalrei means something disgusting. For example, you're allowed to take out your garbage on Shabbos. Now, why can't you take out your garbage on Shabbos? Garbage is muktzah. Now, here's the issue. Because muktzah is dirabbanan. And the rabbis relaxed their restrictions on situations of things that are disgusting, that if you keep them around your house, if you keep them around the house, what's going to happen? You're going to be repulsed. So that's why, again, Lamaisa, I could clear off, you know, my table, even though, again, this stuff on that's objectively muktzah. I can take out my garbage, even though garbage is objectively muktzah. I can get out of my house. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if you want to say that the leftover in the cup is asr ba'na, why shouldn't it be at least like Rashi? It's disgusting to leave over leftover wine with bread schmutz. That's a technical term. Mm-hmm. Right? With bread schmutz sitting there on the bottom of the glass. I don't want to leave that there all of the time. It's disgusting to me. So why can't I just go ahead and clear it off? Because of graf already literally means graf means like a receptacle. Re'i is waste. So what it literally means is you're permitted to clean out the bedpan. You can permit it, you have to leave the stuff in the bedpan, even though, again, that's technically muktzah. So we don't like it. It's easier to translate it a little bit differently. Especially just means anything disgusting. So why don't you just say you could clear off the cup because it's disgusting to leave it there? To which the Gemara says, V'chi osin graf shal. So the Gemara says, Amrle, he responded to him. So Ravina said that to Rav Acha Midifti, you're right. That's true. If it was there, you could go ahead and clean it off. But V'chi osin graf shal rei lechatchila. Oh, that's an interesting point. You know, so much of life is not about getting yourself into, so much of life is not how to get out of negative situations. So much of life is about avoiding negative situations. Right? Rabosai, again, that's the key to successful life is avoid the pitfalls. Because once you get in, it's difficult to get out. So Ravina says to Ravacha, okay, I agree. If it's there, you can clean it up. But I'm going to tell you even better. Don't get into that situation to begin with, and therefore don't invite the Gentile over for Shabbos to begin with.
And that's what he's passing in the halacha.
We'll see how we pass in the halacha in just a little bit.
Well, I don't understand why they even have to come out to Graf Shel Rei. In other words, just say the cup should be mevatel to the wine because no, the hechatim said to hold it. That should be the problem.
So they're correct. So at the end of the day, the cup argument is a weak argument. You're asking that therefore you should be able to move it.
Shouldn't be able. I mean, that's the reason why you shouldn't be able to move it.
So correct. So at the end of the day, the idea that you should be able to be metaltal it on the because of the wine is a weak argument because of the concept of buses. We have this idea that when something is muktzah and it's supporting, so it has to. So remember, going back to our Shabbos days, not everybody agrees to the concept of buses. So it could be that this man over here does not agree to the concept of buses, in which case that's why he advances the argument that maybe you can move the glass even though the contents are muktzah. Kama Mashmalan, the Gemara ultimately rejects that argument because we do paskin buses, and therefore, if you hold that the wine is mukta, by definition, the cup becomes a mavul because it's a bus sadavara aser.
And even people who don't hold the buses, they still would hold that, in other words, there's no other way to hold wine except for in a kli.
Yeah, but if you don't hold that it's buses, then you would be able to, in the top, the glass itself is still considered something that's mutter. Uh-huh. You'd still be permitted to transport it. Uh-huh. So what's the message like this? Adbirei, Rava the Mar Shmuel. So I will say, Rava went on a walk with Mar Shmuel, Vidarish, and he dashed in the following idea. Mezamnines hanachri b'Shabbos. You are permitted to go ahead and invite a Gentile on Shabbos to join you. Ve'ein mezamnines hanachri b'yomtiv. But you may not go ahead and invite a Gentile to join you on Yomtiv. Why? Gezira shema yarbe b'shvilo. Out of a concern that you may come to go ahead and cook additional for the non-Jew. Mereimar umar zutra. So Rabbi says mereimar and mar zutra. Ki havo miklo luhu nachri b'yomtiv. So Rabbi says an interesting case. Mereimar mar zutra. When it, sometimes a non-Jew would come over to their house on Yom Tov uninvited. Uninvited company. So what would they say? And obviously you want to be able to serve the non-Jew something. You don't want to be a rude host. So what would they say? It's very interesting. Amrulei, they said to him, Inecha lecha b'may detir chalad. Mutav, if you're okay with whatever we're eating, then you're more than welcome to join us. The ilo, but if for, but if you want something different, the ilo tircha yisera adaita didach lo tarchinon. But if you're not okay with our eating, I'm just telling you now, I'm not making anything else. It's kind of like what we say to our kids, right? Right? You know. So okay, if you're okay with this, you can eat here. If you're not, I'm not kitchen is closed. So what he's saying over here is that Lamaisa, this is what he would tell the Jews. So I will say, here's what's interesting. Now in this case, again, they're not inviting anyone. These are people showing up at their home, a non-Jew showing up at their home. And what they're saying is once the non-Jew showed up, essentially, if you make your disclaimer, I'm happy to have you join me to eat what I have already prepared, but I am not going ahead and actively preparing anything else. Under those circumstances, it would be permitted to have the non-Jew join you for your meal. Rabbi Yossi, so again, halacha
lemaisa. Does that work if you invited him also?
So no, it would not work if you invited him. It would not work if this only works. Halacha only allows for this if the non-Jew himself showed up. So Rabbi Yossi, so halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin with this is the Shulchan Aruch says, I'll just read this to you over here. Tafkuf Yud Beis, I'm sorry. But Ein mevashlin letzorech kusim b'yom tov. You may not cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov. Lefichach asr lahazmino shana yara b'shilo. The Bible said, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you are not permitted to go ahead and invite non-Jews to join you for a Yom Tov meal, out of the concern that you may come to add additional food for him. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, v'dafka lahazmino. This only applies if what? This only applies if you're inviting the non-Jew. So the Rama says, lebeso, aval lishlach lo lebeso ade kusi, if I'm going to leave that case. Aval, the Bible says, a very important caveat with this. This only applies to company. Let's say, again, you have household staff. You have household staff. I have a limin. Or I have I have domestic help. Aval avdo v'shevchasa v'chein shaliach sh'nishtayach v'chein kuz shevam e'ilav mutar la'achilo imo v'lo chayshin an shem yare b'shvilo. But Rabbi Yossi, if you have a Gentile employee, a live-in, who lives with you, you are permitted to go ahead and give them of your food. They're permitted to sit with you at the table. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi, here's the idea. There's no concern that a person will come to add additional food lemaisa for someone who is their employee. Since that person works for me, they're really no better, no different than any member of the family. And therefore, lemaisa, again, on the assumption is they're going to eat what it is that I've prepared. He says over here, by the way, same idea. He actually quotes this halacha that v'chein kusi sheba me'elav. So too, again, if somebody just showed up at my house, that halacha lemaisa, I'm permitted to go ahead and allow that person to share my food. Now, both sides, the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins is we paskin like this idea of Mereimar Mar Zutra, but one distinction is you don't have to actively say it, right? You don't have to say to him, if you want to eat from what we're eating, right, then you could join us. But if not, as long as that is your intention, that you are only going to share with the non-Jew that which you've already prepared for your own family, then you're permitted to go and have him at your table. If your intent is to prepare more, then of course that's where problems begin. Says the Mishnah. Beishamar, Beishamai say, and Rabbi say, just also to close out one other area of halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch, again, this is in Tavkuf Yud Gimel, Siv Gimel, Aser Levashel V'Lefos Tzorech Klavim. You may not cook for your animals. The Tavkuf Yud Gimel Gimel. Aval Mutter Litalfil Mazonos Velitianathan. But obviously, you can feed them. You can do whatever you need to do to feed them, but you are not permitted to do malacha to feed them. Aval Osir. Okay, so he goes on. He gives a couple of other examples of that, which if you have a pet, you could see me afterwards. He says, however, one interesting exception. Umutter Laharbos Bishil Haklavim Ba'ose Kedera Shemavasha Baliatzma. What can you do? If I'm already cooking chicken and I happen to know that Fido likes chicken, so I can go ahead and I can put in an extra piece of chicken for him. I can be Riboy Bashiurim. But again, I can't do any separate malacha for the sake of my animal. Fine. Says the Sarbosai, so again, Halacha Lamai, so we paskin, you can't do malacha for a Nachri, you can't do malacha for the non-Jew, you can't do malacha for your pets. The only difference is with your pets, what you can do is you can add in additional food to whatever it is you're cooking for your pet, but you cannot do that for a Gentile. Why not? We'll say a very simple distinction. Because your pet, the obligation to sustain and feed that pet is upon you. The obligation to feed and sustain the Gentile is not upon you. Can't invite the non-Jew lechatchila to join you on Yom Tov, a gzeres shema yarbe bishvilo. But if the non-Jew shows up, as long as your intent is just to give the non-Jew from whatever you prepared for your family, he could share in your meal. Says the Mishnah. Beishar Beisham, I say, lo yachem adam chamen l'raglov ele imkin ro'in l'shtia. I say that you may not go ahead and warm up water on Yom Tov to wash your feet. And I both say, we're going to get into this. It's very interesting. So Bishnama says, you may not heat up water on Yom Tov just to wash your feet. Unless, of course, the water itself that you're warming up can be used for drinking purposes as well. Another Rabbi says, what is Bishnama saying? Bishnama is saying the dispensation for Ochal Nefesh is only for what? Only for ochel, only for consumption. Now, once you're doing malacha for consumption, that will allow you to what? Use that item for other normative physical needs, like washing your hands, your face, and your feet. But you can't go ahead and just simply heat up water for the sake of washing your feet. So it has to be right of the shtiyah. Or Beisil Matir. Beisil say no, you could even heat up water for what? To wash your feet. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because as we're going to see, as we're here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lo yachim adam chamin, lirchos ragalav. According to Bishama, you may not heat up water to wash your feet. Ochel nefesh hitra kasuv. The Torah only allows literally food consumption, but not for the sake of washing. On the other hand, Beis Hillel understands what? Beis Hillel takes a much more expansive understanding of ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh doesn't just mean food. What does ochel nefesh mean? Any normative daily human physical need. Therefore, according to Beis Hillel, you could even lechatchila warm up water just for the sake of washing your feet on Yom Tov. Furthermore, osa adam medurim ischaim kinegda. A person can make a bonfire, not for the purpose of cooking, but just in order to warm himself up on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Iboilahu, hai medura man katonila. So what is that last phrase of the Mishnah that you can make a bonfire to warm yourself on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, man katonila. Divrei kolhi. Is that everyone's opinion? Is that everyone's opinion? Vishani lohu b'beis shamay bein hanos kol gufo lanos ever echad. So we'll say, who's saying that you can make a bonfire to warm yourself up? Do both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree with that? And even Beis Shammai agrees with this. Why? Because why does Beis Shammai say you can't go ahead and warm up water for the sake of washing your feet? Because that only benefits one part of your body. But even Beis Shammai agrees that what? That you could do something that benefits your entire body. Like what? Like what? Bonfire. Like a bonfire where you warm your whole body. Old Zilma Beis Hillel Katanila. Or maybe no, maybe the Madura statement is also only according to Beis Hillel. Aval Beis Shammai lo shana lohu. But Beis Shammai doesn't make a difference between malacha that benefits one part of your body, the whole body. According to Beis Shammai, you can only do malacha for what? For the sake of food and for nothing else. Tashma, we learned in the Braisa. Beis Shammai omrim lo yas adam Madura. So once the Bryce is quite explicit, Beis Shammai says you may not go ahead and make a bonfire to warm yourself up with it where the Beis Hillel permits it. Rabbosai, we paskin like Beis Hillel. We take an expansive definition of ochel nefesh, that ochel nefesh means any normative, common, daily human need. You could do malacha for Yom Tov. Therefore, we paskin halacha lemaisa that you can go ahead and heat up. So on Yom Tov, I could turn on the hot water to wash my face. Again, showering, we'll discuss probably after Yom Tov. But we'll discuss, because again, the operative phrase over here is normative. Clearly, in the days of Chazal, daily bathing was not considered to be a normative need. How to reconcile that again with daily hygienic conditions is a different discussion beyond the scope. Actually, it's not our sugya. We'll get to it. But the point is, we accept the position of Beis Hillel, and therefore, lemaisa, we understand that Ochal Nefesh is not just about food preparation. Ochal Nefesh is a license to do malacha for any common normative human daily need. The Mishnah goes weiter. Shlosha Dvarim. Well, then we'll stop after this. Shlosha Dvarim, Rabbi Gamliel Machmir, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. There are three things that Rabbi Gamliel was Machmir like Beis Shammai. And I both say, what's the novelty in this? Who is Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel was the great-grandson of Hillel. This is Rabbi Gamliel number two. Second Rabbi Gamliel. See, he's the great-grandson of Hillel. So despite the fact that he's the great-grandson of Hillel, he was Machmir in three areas like Beis Shammai. What were the three areas? Number one, in Tomnin Esacham in Lechatchila B'Yom Tov. So Rabbi Gamliel, we're going to define all of these cases. So he would not go ahead. Rabbi Gamliel, Tomnin means insulate. So he would not. What they used to do is they would boil up water and then they would wrap it in wool to keep the water hot. So Rabbi Gamliel would not insulate hot water on Yom Tov. This is a case of Yom Tov going into Shabbos. He would not insulate the hot water on Yom Tov for the sake of going into Shabbos. We'll see why. Ve'in zok v'nas ha-menorah. I will say what this sounds like is if you had a menorah candelabra that fell down. So Rabbi Gamliel was machmir like Beis Shammai not to put it back up. B'Yom Tov. Ve'in ofen pasin pisin gritzin elo rikikin. He would not bake thick loaves, but rather only like wafer-like loaves, thin loaves for Yom Tov. Rabbi Osai, the assumption over here is Rashi says, pitin gritzin ki karos oven. Why wouldn't he make thick loaves? Mishum tircha. Because there's more effort that's expended with making thicker loaves. So he would not expend the extra effort for the thicker loaves. Amar Rabbi Gamliel said, Miyamehen shabes abba, in all of the days that I remember in my father's household, lo hayu ofen pitin gritzin el rikikin. We never made thick loaves on Yom Tov, only thin loaves. So here, Abosai, what Rabbi Gamliel is saying is, lest you think this is my own chumrah. So again, I observed this growing up in my father's home. My father never made thick loaves. He only made wafer-like loaves. Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Gamliel, ma na'asa lebeis avicha, what are we going to do about your father's home? Shei machmirin alatzman. Okay, you're right. In your father's home, they were machmir on themselves. However, umakilin l'chol Yisrael. But just know, Rabbi Gamliel, just so you should know, your father was machmir for himself, but he was makel for everybody else. Lios ofen pasin grisin v'chararin. He was machmir for himself that he only made thin loaves because of less tircha, but he was makel for everybody else to allow them to make regular loaves so as to allow them to have regular simchas Yom Tov. Says the Gemara. Hey chidami, what's the case, Rabbi Osai? Ida anech erev tavshilin. So I'll say, what's the case of, again, remember, we're not, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Gamliel said, that one of the things I'm machmir like Beis Shammai is that when Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, I don't insulate my hot water for going into from Yom Tov in the Shabbos to allow me to have hot water on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why not? What's the case? Ida anech erev tavshilin. If you made an erev tavshilin before Yom Tov, my time is the Beis Shammai. Why wouldn't Beis Shammai allow you to insulate the hot water? Rabbi Osai, interesting enough, in our formulation of Erev Tavshilin, one of the things we actually say is we permit ourselves to insulate. So if you made an Erev Tavshilin, why would Beis Shammai be machmir that you can't insulate hot water going from Yom Tov into Shabbos? V'idah lo anach Erev Tavshilin. And if, again, you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, my time is Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Hillel allow you to insulate the water going into Shabbos? Rav Huna, li'olam emelecha shelo hiniach Erev Tavshilin. Rav Huna said, what's the case? The case, Rabbi Osai, is where you did not make an Erev Tavshilin. Ukidechayov sharu le'rabbana. And Rabbi Osai has a very interesting dispensation. Remember, this goes back to our Erev Tavshilin discussion. Erev Tavshilin is for what purpose? Well, first of all, Erev Tavshilin, d'oraisa d'rabbanan. D'rabbanan. For what purpose? Remember, we saw two different possibilities. Either A, that you should make sure to have nice food for Shabbos, right? Because again, otherwise you're going to end up eating all of your food on Yom Tov. You're going to have tuna fish for Shabbos. So in order to make sure you have something nice for Shabbos, it's a reminder. You set aside food from before Yom Tov ready for Shabbos. Second possibility is what? Is it creates kavachomer. If I can't go ahead and prepare for Yom Tov to Shabbos, then what? So I can prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. Either way, it's d'rabbanan. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over something fascinating. Let's say you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. And let's say, again, I live on an island. So, Mamish, there's no Rav, there's no, I guess on an island, everybody's the Rav, right? Right? There's no communal Erev Tavshilin. So what happens? In that case, we have no Erev Tavshilin. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, "Hetiru lo kedechayiv shol," means in the absence of Erev Tavshilin, there's like an emergency rabbinic measure. What's the emergency rabbinic measure? You could make what you need to get by on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Rav Huna, l'tamei dam Rav Huna, mi shelo hiniach eruv tavshilin, someone who did not make an Erev Tavshilin, ofin lo pas achas, he can make one loaf of bread. Umevashin lo kedera achas, he can make one cooked dish, top of chav beis. Umadlikin lo es haner, and he could go ahead and light a candle." Say basic needs for Shabbos. Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Aft solin lo dog katan, shtick fish, a little piece of gefilte fish." Needs are very relative, right? So he can even make for himself a small fish. Tainan mihachri v'brayse that supports this. Mishelo hiniach iruv etavshilin, someone who did not make an iruv tavshilin. Ofin lo pas achos, he can make one loaf of bread for himself. V'tomin lo kedir achos, he can insulate one pot of hot water for himself. U'madlikin es haner, he could light one candle. U'mechamin lo kiton echad, and he could go ahead and warm up. He has one jug of water. V'yesh omrim af tzolin lo dakot. And therefore, Abosai, again, he could even go ahead and roast one fish. So therefore, again, Abosai, the case of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Gamliel said, "Amachmir like Beis Shammai," was a case where what? There was no Erev Tavshilin, and apparently Rabbi Gamliel does not allow for the emergency dispensation. If you didn't make the Erev Tavshilin, you're out of luck, and you cannot go in and prepare hot water for yourself on Yom Tov to Shabbos. Rabbi said this is a very important halacha as well. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in this case, this is in Siman Tov Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Chav, Mishalo Erev. Now, Bo said this rarely happens today because if you live in a Jewish community, right, if you're part of a shul, so the rabbi of the shul usually always has in mind when you go ahead and you make your Erev Tavshilin, when he makes his Erev Tavshilin, that he covers everybody in his kila, and the Rav of the city covers all the inhabitants of the city, so it's rare to be left without an Erev. But if for some reason you are, Mishalo Erev, Kishim Sha'asr Levash Al Yatzmo, the same way he can't cook for himself, Kach Asr Levash Al Achirim Afilu Beveisam, he can't cook for others, okay? The Gam Achirim Asr Levash Al Lo. Now we saw this before, if you did not make an Erev, not only can you not cook for yourself, but what? Others may not cook for you. There's only one way you could do that. So remember again, we saw a sugi before. The only way to get out of trouble in that kind of situation is how? If you give your food to someone else. If I give my food to someone else, then what? Then someone else is permitted to cook that food ostensibly for themselves. And then afterwards, after they cook it, they're what? They're permitted to gift it back to me. We had that last week. They're permitted to gift that back to me. The Yesh Omrim. Shemutar leafos b'tzimtzum pas achad ulevashel kedera echad ulehadlik ner echad. But Rabosai, halacha l'maisa, the Mechaber says, but there are those that say, Rabosai, because let's say you don't have others that you can give your food to, or there's no other mechanism you can rely on. When all is said and done, if you have no other options, in the absence of an Erev Tavshilin, Chazal allowed you emergency measures, you can go in and you can bake for yourself one loaf, you can make for yourself one cooked dish, you could go to insulate the waters as well. The Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have to make a tiny loaf. The Mishnah Berurah says, when we say you could cook one loaf, you could cook for yourself a large loaf that is going to be enough for all Shalosh Sudos. When we say you could go ahead and you could cook one pot, it doesn't just mean enough just to get by for one meal, but you could cook yourself a lot of food. What it means is you're not preparing multiple courses, but you could do what you need to do. And again, this is emergency measure just to be able to have food for Shabbos. All right, Demosai, we'll stop over here. Schedule for Yom Tov is Emir Tashem. I'll be giving the daf. We'll be learning again 8:15 in the morning. So before davening on the last days of Yom Tov. And then I'll send out an email for after Yom Tov as well. There's not the Chumash in the morning on Yom Tov. Just daf Yomi.
So Rabbi, before we have a shiloh, we have to do
Yeah, everybody's there. There you go.
Don't worry about everybody.
There you go. It's true.
So would Beis Shammai allow you to heat water to clean your feet if you drank it?